Welcome back to Stand Up Comedy Secrets for Beginners. I'm Ron Temple, and I'm here again with leading stand up comedy expert Steve Roy. Steve, I was wondering if the prevalence of the internet has had an impact on stand up comedy. What are your thoughts?
Well, you would think as huge and massive as the internet has become, you know, we're talking about the ultimate communication tool, and it's instant, and there's bazillions of pages online. You'd think that that'd have a positive impact on stand-up comedy, wouldn't you?
I would. In fact, I thought it did. Tell me different.
Well, let me just put it to you this way. It hasn't resulted in people doing better at comedy open mic nights. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, okay. I see your point.
What it has done is it has kind of stagnated stand-up comedy from a perspective that I'm going to share in this episode. But and once you understand how the internet works and how content works and that kind of stuff, people will understand that. The real problem with the internet is there's a lot of non-actionable, non-useful, non-information, for a lack of better terms. And it's just a massive amount. And here's basically the way the internet works. Okay, I'll go through a scenario and then I'll talk more about the internet. But let's say that you wanted to start a blog. And the reason that you wanted to start a blog is because you wanted to sell stand-up comedy DVDs or comedy DVDs from Amazon. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So what you do is you set up your blog and those kinds of things. Now what you're going to need on your blog is content. So what you do is you hire someone to write that content for you. And just so that people know, you can go to a website like Fiverr and get people for $5 to write you anywhere from a 500 to 800 word article about whatever you want. And so, yeah, you want to have different things on your blog about comedy, different types of comedy. Might be sketch comedy, might be improv comedy, might be situation comedy and stand-up comedy. And that's what you're doing. Well, these folks could pay $5 to get an article. Okay, now this article is going to be written by who? Someone from the Philippines, India, someplace else in Asia, South America, wherever, by someone who has never been on stage, never put together a stand-up comedy routine, may not even have stand-up comedy in their area. They don't really know about it, so what they, you know, and these people are from out of town, obviously, if you get where I'm coming from.
Oh, exactly, because we hear a lot of contracting, a lot of websites that do a lot of contracting overseas, and Philippines and India are their favorites.
Well, yeah, because the economy is such that you can get more than what you could get here. So here's the thing. So for $5, you can get an article. And so how does that person do this? Well, they go and find three articles on that same thing and then paraphrase what the deal is. And they pass along, okay, and then you can do a little editing and that kind of stuff. Now, by the way, I don't do this on my blog. Okay, I do all my stuff, but here's the point I want to make.
Isn't that how I got through college, though? I'm pretty sure.
Well, but here's what you've got is you've got an internet that's chocked full of what's a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. Now, you know, back in the day, you could only do three or four copies of a copy, and the next thing you know, that thing's not readable.
That's true, yeah.
Okay, well, that's what you kind of have with stand-up comedy. It's all the same crap. Write 50 jokes a day. You need to write your jokes and make sure they're funny. Don't go on stage doing unfunny jokes. Make sure that they're funny. Make sure that they have that special twist or element of surprise at the end. Now, how does that help anybody do anything?
It doesn't. But we're back to kind of what we've talked about in the other series was it's back to writing. So when they're trying to research for these articles overseas, they pull these articles, it's the same stuff that everybody else is putting out. So they're, all you're doing is get it back in a different form.
Yeah, but just magnify this by thousands of times. I mean, you've got this happening over and over and over again, and it's rehash of this, rehash of this. I mean, it's just recycling the same stuff that doesn't matter, that doesn't work, that doesn't help an individual capture their sense of humor for the stand-up comedy stage. It's just blah, blah.
Well, you were saying earlier that non-actionable, just non-actionable. This is when you say write a joke that's funny and then don't deliver it because it's funny. It's pretty not actionable. That's, you know, that's exactly what everybody wants to do, but they didn't tell you how to write the funny joke. They didn't tell you how to deliver it.
Well, they're not going to do that because they don't know how to do that, and especially on an individual level. Now, again, I say these people have never even looked at a stand-up comedy video. They're there to just produce 500, 600, 800 words, whatever it is, that somebody's going to slap up and the search engines are going to index this material. And it's the same old blah, blah over and over again, said in a different way. I mean, you know as well as I do, in the English language, there's only 10 or 15 different ways to say the exact same thing.
Right.
You know, so you just have this proliferation of non-information that's out there. And so you take a new comedian who gets on, and relatively few people find my website. They find that very few people relatively find my course, find my blog of free information. And even though I have a lot of pages, I have a lot of articles that are on the first page of Google from my blog, they're not necessarily the very first entry. They may be down at the bottom of that first page or on the second page. But my stuff competes with all this doo-doo that's out there. So, you know, somebody goes through, they click through three or four articles, it all says the same thing. Write 50 jokes a day. Do this, you know, this kind of nonsense. And so they go, there you go, and they never hit my stuff. So I'm competing with all this other nonsense that's out there. Now, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this radio program. It's a different media in order for me to interact or have an input on stuff that people really need to know. I think that they need to know. It's another way for me to get exposure to them and them to get exposure to me, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And I know when we first started talking, that was one of the goals, is that we'll actually help individuals obtain their goals, they can't obtain the goals they're looking. If they're wanting to be professional stand-up comedy comedians, they have to be able to perform funny. And evidently, most of what they're getting out there on the internet and everywhere else is still that same write the 50 jokes. You know, deliver them in a funny way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's very helpful. That's very helpful. Oh my goodness, I'm going to go on stage. The reality is it's not until an individual has taken the time to try to develop a stand-up comedy routine, have taken that stand-up comedy routine on stage and has felt the sting of that stuff flopping, that they really understand that stand-up comedy is not just words on paper. It's not just a lot of things. What people see stand-up comedy to be is completely different when you're on the other side of the fence, if that makes sense.
No, it does, and we've talked about that quite well. We've talked about it a lot, actually, in other shows, but I'm just going to mention it one more time, is that sting. If you hadn't heard this from me yet, I'll say it again today, is that stand-up comedy, you know, even though I have a very humorous and entertaining style in the classroom, still scares the living heck out of me. Because of that sting, you flop there, you have flopped. You know, that's a
sting.
For those that get back up after a flop, it's like jumping out of the airplane for the second time. You know, most everybody can jump out once, but
at least once.
Do it again. I'm talking with a parachute, but we do know what to expect the second time. So the idea to just take it, you know, take that that flop. And then get back on stage. That takes courage.
Courage. And you know what? It's funny that you should mention that, because the word courage is seldom used in association with comedians. And it's kind of interesting, because it is truly courage that an individual must have. They need to be fearless too when they're on stage. But as far as the internet goes, so that's, you've got that whole mess going on. There's also been a proliferation of stand-up comedy books. There's probably three times as many stand-up comedy books available today and rapidly available. I mean, you can order them in a minute, categorized and that kind of stuff, than there was when I started. I mean, when I started, you had to go down to the bookstore. You had to do research just to find what you were looking for to see what was there. There wasn't that much there. There was only six or eight books probably total when I started. And that type of thing. Well, today you've got the Kindle, you know, the Kindle books, which are electronically downloaded. People can, you know, look at them on their phone. You've got hardcover and softcover books that you can order online and get them in just a matter of days. So, I mean, the whole dynamic has changed, but here's the problem. None of, and keep this in mind, I have acquired over the years probably 99% of everything that's out there. And I've gone through it. And a lot of that was done not just from before I knew what I was doing as a comedian, but after I became a stand-up comedy educator online and wanted to see what was out there. And dude, it's the same rehash. Write the jokes. Make sure the jokes are funny. Yada, yada, yada. It's the same old nonsense. Here's some writing exercises to help you. I'm going to say a word. I'm going to write a word, and then you put your, what you think about it. Blue. Go for it. Make that funny. I mean, come on, man.
Well, you know, as a professor, I often give the same topics, you know, so everybody has to write an essay or some form of a thesis that's this of the same topic that I always give out. So pick a topic, and I get the same paperback, almost exactly. Same references, same everything from student after student after student, you know, semester after semester after semester. And I tell my students, so if my students are listening right now, again, all you have to do is be unique. Find that article that no one else has read. Find the research that no one else has done. And tell me something I don't know about the subject that I've given you. And that gets that A-plus paper. So what's happening out there is the same thing. It's just repeating. They're researching what's out there, and they're paraphrasing, and they're putting it back in their words.
Right.
They may even cite it as they're supposed to. But it's still the same material. It's always nice to get that refreshing look at something that, in fact, I learned quite a bit from my students because they find stuff that I couldn't find. So what you're saying is you're the guy. You're the one that gets the A-plus paper because you've taken all this stuff, you've looked at it, you see it's non-actionable, and now you've looked at it in the way, and you actually know how, what we talked last show, is you know how to tell us how to do it.
Well, here's the differentiation that you got to make is first of all, I'm one of the very few people that's actually performed, and not only performed, but performed at a high level, and can tell people what it is they need to do to develop and deliver a stand-up comedy act that's relative to them. When I say relative to them, their own demeanor, their own uniqueness, their own delivery, their own everything. How to develop a punchline relative to them, their sense of humor and that kind of stuff. None of this stuff is talked about in any of these books. Nobody talks about getting 4 to 6 laughs per minute. No one would dare. Oh my God. You know where that would put them with the other stuff that they've got? Oh, you've got to get 4 to 6 laughs per minute. Just make sure it's funny. Make sure that stuff is funny. Cause it's really hard to do that. And see, here's the other part about my course materials is the structure format that I provide people has nothing to do with telling them what to talk about or anything like that. But that structure applies whether an individual's doing 1 and 2 line jokes or they're doing topic-based stuff. It doesn't matter. You still have the same amount of time in a minute whether you're doing one-liners and two-liners or you're doing topic-based stuff or story stuff. And that's something that's not even addressed, topic-based stand-up comedy material. That's not even addressed. It's all this 1 and 2 line joke things.
And that's what amazes me about the stuff I've read is it's about joke writing. It is really about the one-liner kind of, and as we've talked in the past, it is really comedy is topic based now. I mean, most comedians are topic based. The one-liners are difficult, and there's very few that can pull that off.
But here's the thing, that's not reflected online, other than by me. And remember, I'm just a small entity in this vast sea of worthless information. I mean, I'm just a really small part of this. So, you know, but I can only help the people that I can help. I refuse to put up 20 blogs that say the exact same thing. I mean, I've got multiple blogs online, and I try to do things from a different perspective, but man, it's just too hard to do quality stuff, to give people quality general information that they can hang their hat on and say, hey, you know, this makes sense. You know, granted, I do have a product to sell. Am I biased? Yes, I am. But I'm going to tell you, I'm also an internet marketer. And if there were products out there that I could embrace and endorse, do you believe in your heart that I wouldn't do that, dude?
No. In fact, that's very popular on the internet today. It's where when you say internet marketer, what you're saying is if you found a product that somebody else wrote or somebody else had, and it would help an individual, you would have it available on your website to sell.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm all about good education. I'm not about what I can only call bad education. Okay, non-functional, not, I mean, if you're going to hype something, man, that thing better deliver.
Well, we're at a point that, you know, we don't do this in the show, and we haven't done this, but I think it's really necessary at this point that you plug. Give us a plug for your, where do we go? Where do we go?
Oh, if folks want to check out my course, it's at killerstandup.com, all one word, and there's a ton of free information that's available. That's another thing that I have that a lot of people don't have. Is they get a pretty good amount of free information. There's no sign up involved. You don't have to put your email address in. None of that kind of thing. I mean, they can just go on. And if they don't agree with what I say, what I have to offer, then I say do this. Go try this stuff that everybody else is hawking. Go try it. Go get you some books. And on Amazon, you can get them used for cheap. Sometimes half price or more. Use. Get your hands on that stuff. And then get on stage and try that stuff. Tell me what happens. And then once you get up there and you can't seem to make it work, come back and consider what I'm telling you, which involves using all of your comedy talent, not just these stupid words on paper that everybody else says. But, you know, we're sitting here talking about the internet and the internet impact. Keep this in mind, too. There are literally millions of armchair comedians out there. You've heard the term armchair quarterback. This is the person that watches the football game, knows every single mistake these people made. They know exactly what should have been done, how it should have been done. Well, I would have done this, and I would have done that, and this is what you need to do. They are absolutely on-the-mark experts. Because they don't miss one single football game. Not the college games, not the pro games, not any games. If there was games on Mars, they'd be watching those. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, resident expert.
Yeah, well, self-appointed resident expert. Now, check this out. So here you got people that are out there anywhere, and they've watched hundreds or if not thousands of hours of stand-up comedy. And they've never put together a routine. They've never stepped on a stand-up comedy stage. They don't know what it's like to bomb, and they don't know how to adjust anything. But by God, they know what's up. And they're more than willing to tell you exactly what you need to do to be a success at stand-up comedy.
I assume you've had a few of them write you.
Oh, dude, this happened. Let me just tell you this. Here's another internet phenomenon that has occurred. There's several big stand-up comedy forums online, and you can go to them. You can check them out. And I do, from time to time, I go to see if there's anything new and exciting. And There's not. I always look for the new comedian post that puts, it goes something like this. New to stand-up comedy, any tips? New to stand-up comedy, any advice? And invariably, every single time, I get on one of those posts and I start looking at what people say, there's a comment that goes like this. Just relax and prepare to suck. Now, you tell me from your experience, whatever experience you're going to draw from, where's the benefit in telling someone, relax, prepare to suck? Dude, I'm not, I just...
I think I've used that myself, which is terrible, as you say it that way. Now, I didn't quite use those words, but, you know, sometimes you just got to get up there and fail. And I'm the last one to do it. I'm the last one to take my own advice. But I do understand where that comes from. It's terrible.
Well, terrible. This brings up a different kind of perspective that the internet provides. And this perspective is a very negative perspective. I mean, before the internet, most of the information came from books and magazines. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah.
And would you agree that in the vast majority of cases, whatever was presented in a positive light?
Most, yeah. In fact, that's what we're looking for. I think most, we used to look for the positive aspects of life.
Okay, here's what the internet has done, is it tends to accentuate the negative. I can't, I won't, this sucks. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, we have bred a whole different kind of comedy that is based on pain and suffering.
Well, you know, I'll stop you right there. Comedy has always had a foundation in tragedy. Yeah, tragedy is not, first of all, it doesn't have to be a major event like an earthquake or that kind of stuff. Tragedy can be something like you didn't get enough change back at the store. I mean, you could put that into tragedy. There's different variations of that. And a lot of comedy is built on not the things that went right. What's funny about that? It's the stuff that didn't go very good that tends to get the attention. But when it comes to people communicating with other people, you've got these folks that have gone online. They went and scoured for possibly weeks and months this doo-doo information that I've told you about, right?
Right.
They got online. They other people responded to their questions, whatever the deal is. They've done research, countless hours of research themselves. Then they get on stage and they suck. Not just one time, but multiple times, to the point where they're still very interested in stand-up comedy, but it's just not worth the drag. So these people are frustrated and they get online and they share that frustration without any introspection that it might have been them and what they were doing that caused the problem.
This kind of goes back to what we talked once before about was the audience. They often blame the audience.
Yeah, and you know, blaming the audience is like blaming the golf ball because it didn't go in the hole.
Yeah, yeah. And we do know that is pretty normal for new comedians to step off the stage and go, they just didn't get my
job. Well, it's not the audience's job to try to figure out why you're telling them. I mean, I don't know how else to put this, but it's not their job. They don't go in for that. They go in for some refreshing adult beverages and to laugh their butts off.
Yeah.
That's their whole deal. But I'm just saying, and I'll tell you, I've had several forums. I won't do another forum ever. It draws some of the most negative, hateful, non-motivated people you could have ever imagined. But keep in mind, here's this individual that has watched hours and hours of stand-up comedy, and they are a self-appointed expert at how it all works. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
Dude, this is like you going to the automobile repair shop, and you go in there and you go, yeah, I need to get some stuff done. I need to get it done now because I've got a doctor's appointment. They're going to cut this growth off my arm. And the guy you're talking to goes, really? Let me tell you what, I've watched tons of medical shows. I mean tons. I watch them all the time. I've probably logged, I don't know, 5,000 hours. Let me get started on this, and then I'll go into the office, and I'll just lop that thing off for you. I mean, because I've watched all these medical shows, and I'm telling you, I know how it rolls.
Yeah, and you know what? I think I have that mechanic.
Well, dude, if you're going in for treatment like that from your mechanic, then I don't know what to tell you.
But we can do it the other way too, because I've often, you know, I've logged many hours on a manual to fix cars, and I think I know how to fix cars. Then I go in and I tell my mechanic what he should be doing to my car, and he gives me that same look.
Well, I'm just saying, but
No, I completely understand, because we do self-appoint ourselves as experts sometimes when we aren't.
Well, when you consider 99.999% of the people not only think that they have a fantastic sense of humor, but they know how to tell other people how to have one too. And dude, yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you. So this comes out online. And so can you imagine the kind of advice that's given to people? I mean, just think about it, man. If someone embraces this kind of nonsense advice or non-actionable advice, they don't have a snowball's chance in a blast furnace of doing well.
Yeah, when you bring that up, it's really important that we understand that we keep doing what works and quit doing what doesn't work. And you've got some really some individuals out there that are just like you when you began, that are just embracing all that they can get a hold of. And it's just not actionable. It's just not working for them.
Okay.
But they're willing. They're capable and willing. And yet they're just getting the wrong information.
Well, just take what I went through that was – I'm not going to say it was pre-internet, but the internet wasn't what it was now, what it is now. But you take that information that I started with and just balloon it up to the size of Saturn. And that's what's happened. It's just this recycling of the same old nonsense stuff. And there's a couple of problems with this from my perspective. First of all, I think it gives non-funny people, and there are non-funny people. You've met them, dude. These are the guys and gals who really think that they're sharp, and they'll throw something out there and people groan and they think that, oh my God, I'm killing them. You know, or people will just walk off, or they've got appointments automatically. But they're not self-aware enough to realize, you know, hey, I'm running these people off. You know, they just don't get it. They're never going to get it. And I believe that some of this information leads people to believe things like you can somehow learn to have talent. And you know how I feel about that. That's like learning how to grow taller. You just don't do that. You don't learn how to grow another finger. You don't learn how to get taller. You know what I'm saying? There's just certain things that you can't learn. And I think it gives these people false hope. Those are the fewer of the group that that I tend to be concerned about. The folks that I'm more concerned about are the people that do have real comedy talent, but they never realize it on stage because they've subscribe to this other stuff. That's the stuff that really chaps me. I can't help the people that don't have comedy talent, but for the people that do have comedy talent and should be able to capitalize on that, oh my goodness, that's the stuff that drives me nuts. And like I said, if you go to, you know what you should do during this series, if you can find one, go sit through a comedy open mic night just to see how much of an impact the internet has made.
And you know what, you say something. I haven't been to an open mic night in a long time, so I can't really speak on it. I can tell you that before it was tough.
Oh, let me save you some time. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. You go up and 90% or more of the people are not going to do well. And I'm being nice here.
Well, let's go back to an earlier show. You do believe, and I think I believe, that most people have comedy talent. We know that we have the talents there.
Well, do you know why I say that? I'm going to tell you. The reason I say that is because sense of humor is something that we use all the time. It's not most people use all the time. It's not something that you use two or three times a year. Because if you do that, you're probably a hermit.
Yeah, because any social interactions any social interactions, there's a little bit of an entertainment factor.
Of course there is. I mean, just think about this. We hang around friends. We develop friends with people who see things the same way we do. We are able to share a similar sense of humor. We're able to appreciate the other person's point of view. And when we meet people that don't fall into that category, they're not really our friends.
Correct.
So I'm just saying that comedy talent is developed, and it continues to develop throughout an individual's life. It doesn't just stop when they're a teen. As individuals, you know, develop more experience, they have more bad experiences, they have good experiences, there's things that they are amazed at, and all those kinds of things. Well,
so when we talk about comedy talent, or we talk about the fact that we have a humorous side, we all do, and you say most do, then the only real difference in those that can function in front of a crowd, let's say, and just really do stand-up comedy, are those that actually just learn from their mistakes. They're the ones that actually that realize that writing jokes is not actionable, but delivering jokes in a proper manner is, and then they end up continue doing what works, quit doing what doesn't work. So we're back to that. So it's I think there's a pretty well-known comic that said that you can't fix stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
Stupid is really nothing more than not learning from your own mistakes.
Well,
learning.
But, you know, we're talking about the internet here, and there's a form of herd mentality that happens. And you know, the thing that should impress upon anyone who's listening to this is what I'm talking about doesn't just apply to stand-up comedy. It applies to anything that's out there on the internet. There's a lot of bad information on the internet. And you know, people buy into some of the stupidest stuff. Ron, I mean, there was that Tennessee lady who read online that the president had passed a law that says you can print your own money. So here's the thing. She did. And she got caught passing a $5 bill. Well, there were some problems with it. First of all, it was in black and white. That was one problem. The other problem is the back wasn't put on properly, so it was upside down. And so they went, you know, this really isn't that good. Oh, well, yeah, I got it, you know. Yeah, I saw this online. Well, they went to her house. She had like $20,000 or $30,000 of this black and white money ready to roll. And, dude, I mean, she just – and her response to this whole thing was, well, if other people are doing it, I should be able to do this too. And the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, they don't give any leniency in court for stupid.
No.
There's none. It's not like, oh, I feel badly for you. This carries a 10-year sentence. We'll cut it down to 5 because you're stupid. No, it doesn't happen that way, dude.
Above my desk in the Navy, there was a sign that I'd walk into every day and see, and I kind of understand it a lot more as I got older, but it was the stupid shall be punished. So not only can you not fix stupid, the stupid are punished because of that. I want to use another internet that I just love. I see it probably once every couple of years. It pops up, and it's Mr. Rogers was a Navy SEAL. Had 23 confirmed kills. He wore long sleeve shirts to hide the tattooed sleeves. And you read this and you just go, my God. And every once in a while somebody will say, one of my students will go, man, yeah, Mr. Rogers, he was like a killer. You go, oh, I read that. But you might want to look a little further into it, that you know, he was a pacifist and a Presbyterian minister. He really wasn't a Navy SEAL. But what they believe, you know, they look at me like, yeah, Mr. Temple, he's just a nice guy. he just doesn't know.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, I've dealt with quite a bit of negativity from other folks that didn't have comedy talent, didn't use any comedy talent that they had, didn't get on stage, but they know everything, and they automatically are an expert on my materials. Never got a hold of my materials, but my stuff sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got that aspect of the internet too. I mean, you take a look at how powerful this stuff is, this internet stuff. How many people have gotten fired from posting inappropriate things on their personal Facebook page.
Well, better than that, you know, I did a lot of hiring, and today's world, we look at their Facebook. In fact, we even ask them for their Facebook, and we look at that to see if they would meet the culture of the organization that we want to hire them into. So, yeah, that Facebook is a whole new, you know, and you just go, really? And they really think, they do not see that this would be inappropriate.
No, it's like the people that are in their car on the freeway picking their nose thinking no one can see them.
Darn it, they can see you?
Yeah, they can see the whole thing. They can see that you're up to the second knuckle, man.
All right, I got to quit doing that. All right. I thought I was safe on the freeway. I got to get tinted windows. But we are subject to, you know, that the rule of education is for what's first learned is best learned. And if somebody tells me that writing jokes is the way I should do stand-up comedy, it's real hard for you to convince me otherwise now. And I think that's part of this whole – that's everything. That's everything we deal in life with is my dad told me something one time that I just believed so wholeheartedly that it took one of my teachers to go, whoa, buddy, you know, do a little research.
Well, I'll tell you, there's an interesting thing, and now is as good a time as any to talk about it because the internet has exploded this type of thing. But there is a tremendous amount of professional jealousy from the perspective of this. If you're someone like I was who came out of nowhere and was able to kill an audience at a high level, people look at that with suspicion, and then they look at it with envy. And next thing you know, you cheated. They talk about you because here's the problem. It took them 5, 6, 7 years before they were able to do X, fill in X, play this gig, perform at this level, do whatever. And people who went through that process and spent years to do what should have taken them months don't want you moving any faster than they did. They don't want you getting the gigs that you either can't get or could have gotten, but you weren't good enough fast enough. Am I making sense here?
Perfect sense, because, you know, you hear that all the time about comedians. They tell you this. In fact, I've used this in one of our earlier shows, is that while being interviewed, a very well-known female comic, while being interviewed, said it took her 17 years to basically get noticed, to become... She made a living, somewhat of a living, doing stand-up, but it was 17 years before she actually became known. You know, who does that for 17 years without reaching that goal? So you give her a lot of credit for tenacity, but it was probably because she had difficulty learning from her own mistakes.
See, and my perspective is that, first of all, it doesn't have to take years for someone to get funny. Now, it can take some time to develop enough material, develop a reputation as a, you know, a headliner level comedian. It can take some time for that. But that amount of time is relative to how funny you are. And the faster you're funny, the faster things happen. Because a lot of people don't realize that opportunities come to you when you're funny. In other words, you don't have to, you don't seek them out as much as they find you.
Well, I think that's common everywhere. You know, if, socially, if you're at a cocktail party and your conversation is enjoyable, people seek out that conversation. You know, they want to talk to you. So I think that works in all facets. But you really, in comedy, you're saying that there's people out there looking for talent because they need funny.
Oh, man. Well, there's never enough. There's never enough of real talent. But you brought up something, an interesting comment that I've heard over and over and over again in stand-up comedy. Actually, I've heard it in different environments, but when someone's able to get ahead, the most common cliche comment is, well, it's not how talented you are, it's who you know.
Correct.
And let me just tell you what, that statement is half true. What gets people noticed by the people they end up knowing is the talent that they demonstrate. So it's not just knowing people, dude. Simply knowing people, if you don't have talent, doesn't do anything for you.
Well, the people that you know, they can't they can't, you know, it goes back to that same thing as we've talked about, is there are things in life that aren't going to change. So you may know a ton of people that are 6 foot tall, but in your 5'5", there's a good chance you can know them forever. You're never going to make it to 6 feet tall.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much, that's right there with that Easter Bunny Tooth Fairy thing. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you that, but I'm trying to provide a perspective here about the internet and how the internet exacerbates these issues. You know, the real underbelly of negativity that's out there. Now, I come from a perspective that you need to have a positive approach to what you're doing. You need to have a proactive approach to what you're doing. That embracing the negative doesn't really bring you much. And I don't, and this isn't about the kind of style of material that you bring. It's not about your demeanor. It's not about that. It's just you need to know that you're there. I don't care if an agent has seen you. I don't care if a comedy club manager has seen you. You need to know that you're there. And the example that I've used with this is in the Olympics, when the eight people line up to do the fastest 100 meters, do any of those people really get on that line and go, you know, I really don't have a chance. These other people are faster than me. Because if they do, they don't need to be there.
Right, right. And that's what you're seeing. There's another aspect to the internet, though, that we're talking about, but we're not talking about. And that's these YouTube comedians that they're sitting in their living room and they're telling jokes and they go on the internet.
Well.
And yet that they, every once in a while they hit something funny. They get, what's the word? It goes viral. You know, we see these.
Yeah, but
there's, for every one of those that go viral, there's probably a million that didn't.
Well, let me just clarify something right now. Stand-up comedy involves an audience. If you don't have an audience, it's not stand-up comedy, Ron. It's sketch comedy. It's some kind of individual presentation. You could liken it to something that you see on Saturday Night Live, you know, where there's one person presenting something, but there's no audience there. There's no timing there. None of the skill that's needed for a typical live audience is required there. So that's being a YouTube comedian is different because that's sketch comedy or whatever you want to, however you want to define it. But in order to be a stand-up comedian, you need to be able to kill an audience. Now, we already talked about how this YouTube video thing rolls, you know, how videos don't really show the comedian in the best light because the audience dynamic doesn't carry over. You know what I'm saying? So the comedian is stripped of that and they're left with whether a person likes their stand-up comedy material or not. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
Yeah. So, you know, they're left down, you know, they're stripped down to that whole subjective thing. So again, here we go. YouTube came out and it was launched in 2005. It's gone on and on. What help has it done? Now, when you have people that have funny stuff, stand-up comedy videos don't usually go viral, only because of these reasons that we've talked about.
Yeah, no, it's usually an individual joke, and the individual is practicing his material, or he's getting ready for whatever. That's part of his preparation. And
well, you also know that you can find clips of stand-up comedians who are tanking.
Yeah.
And man, that they are, it is amazing how poorly prepared, unfunny, offensive, rude these folks are. So even that video, you know, this online video aspect needs to be paid a comedian needs to pay close attention to that. You know, they really do. Another online aspect, an internet aspect, and this is one of those aspects where I believe comedians they might as well be in the Stone Ages for this. You can have a comedian out there who's relatively new, been doing it a year or two. They're rocking on stage. They're killing it, but they don't even have an electronic press kit. They don't have a website that they're using Facebook or MySpace or something. It's like, you're joking me, right? If you're killing on stage, you need to have an electronic press kit. And here's the kicker. You can do that for free. No cost, dude.
Yeah, there's so many tools out there that are now free. Software, well, free.
But here's the thing. Comedians don't want to deal with that. It's like they don't want to. They'll spend all day long on Facebook bitching and complaining about any number of things, but they can't put together a free website that says, okay, well, where they've performed, what they've done, a little bit about who they are. I mean, that's all electronic press kit is. There's not a whole lot to it. It's a sales tool. But you can do it for free. And there's a course. There's a actual lesson, especially lesson in my course about how to set one up for free. Now, that's a starter one. It's not the one with the flash introduction and little hand that comes out and rubs your shoulders while you're watching, you know, any of that kind of stuff. But it just amazes me how backwater a lot of comedians are. It's like, man, get your stuff together. If you're going to be serious about this, you better have a website going. Something.
Well, as I said, social media seems to be becoming the popular avenue for exposure.
Well,
but really, what you're saying, that exposure needs to carry over to a more professional look, especially if you want to get other types of or actually somewhere to send people that are looking for talent.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's your calling card. Back in the day, it used to be when you were at a professional level, you had to have a promo pack. And that promo pack was a folder, and it had testimonials in it. It had a list of, you know, it had your comedy resume, who you performed for, your TV appearances, your corporate appearances, your club experience, all those kinds of things. And as you can probably imagine, with this professional printed material, it was expensive.
Right. Yes.
Well, let me just tell you, that stuff has been all but replaced by online stuff. I mean, with online videos and those kinds of things. But it just amazes me how comedians won't do anything about it. It's like...
Well, doesn't that go back to what we're this whole series is about? Is that there's a whole lot of information out there that's non-actionable. It's not helping a comedian. It's just telling them what they should already know. And now we're to another level. Who's really talking to them about what happens when you do become a known entity, that you are funny, you are good at what you do? Who's telling them the business aspect,
how to make the extra money? Well, here's the thing. We're back to that whole thing. We've got people out there who've never been comedians who are the experts. They've never been on stage. They've never had to promote themselves. They've never had to present themselves in any manner. They've never had to develop a comedy act for themselves. They've never gone on stage. They've never bombed. They've never figured out anything.
Well, they've never made money doing it.
Well, and again, yeah, there's another thing too. And I made good money as a comedian. And let me just say this. People think that I rake it in as a stand-up comedy teacher. Womp, womp. That is not the case. Okay. Let me just tell you. I'm good with that though. Because at least the people that I get involved with, that get involved with my course, at least I know that they're serious. You know, they're really going to take a stab at it. Or at least that's what I want to think. I mean, they're confident enough in their ability. They're confident enough to invest in themselves. And that's what makes me feel good, better than the money. There's just not a whole lot of money in stand-up comedy education. I'm sorry.
Well, just start there, because I'm in education, and there's not a lot of money in education. You know, we don't teach – most teachers aren't teaching to get rich. We are teaching for the benefit of helping others. And I think that's the same thing. I've known you for many years, and I know that you make a decent living doing your teaching, but we're not getting rich teaching. That's not the
purpose. Oh, no, not at all. But, you know, it's the whole – for me, it's about – getting that email that says, you know what, I got a hold of your stuff and I got on stage and I rocked it. Exactly. That's worth everything to me, because I know where they've been. I mean, I've been where they are and I know how that feels. And it's, oh God, it's just electrifying.
Well, and that's teaching. That's what we do. When we turn on the lights on an individual and you see them change for not the purpose of the topic that we're teaching, but the purpose of their lives are changing. They are seeing their goal. They're seeing their dream, and it kind of is what this whole thing is about, is to really create the positive environment, both as stand-up comics or life in general. You know, if they can do this, and this is what they want to do, and you can help them do it, wow, that's powerful.
I'll tell you, one of the things that I don't like about the internet is that you have a lot of marketing copy where people are preying on people's dreams, but then when they get the product or whatever it is, it doesn't deliver. It doesn't even come close to delivering. It's cursory information at best. That's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. The big piece of advice that I would give to folks when it comes to looking at stuff online is just take it with a grain of salt, you know, and understand some of the things that we've talked about in this particular session. That's really important to understand, is that there's a lot of non-information out there. There's a lot of armchair comedians, for lack of better terms, that are all experts on this that have never done any of this stuff. And that's not a good resource for this. It's not going to get you anywhere. And my whole theme, everything that I do, is all about getting from point A to point B in the smallest amount of time. Not just loping along and trying to figure it out, and maybe it'll happen someday, and I wish, hope, and yada, yada, yada. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I want people to have a serious chance at doing well at stand-up comedy. It's just that important to me.
And with that said, we've run out of time, but there's much more to come, so don't miss the next episode when we reveal more stand-up comedy secrets for beginners.